and the rubber compression fitting squeezes the wire. Really nice, nice fit, and relatively watertight compared to almost anything else. And I gotta go. It's time to feed the fish, get ready, go to sleep. I got an early day tomorrow, and I'll send it back to you, Jim. NS2K and to you.
Yep, you're very welcome to Kit Night or any of the other bear events. And I don't know, I assume you have to work during the day, but twice a week some of the oldsters get together for a breakfast thing. And while it's not exactly a place to go make connectors, they're more than happy to talk your ear off about it. It's a good conversation and with a lot of people who have a lot of experience. Anyway, it's getting on here. I too have to get up, so we'll bid you all adieu. This is NS2K. If there are any more questions, please.
NS2K, thank you so much for clearing some stuff up for me that I don't have much experience about. One last thing, I want to compare three microphones. Would you mind staying on just to let me know which one sounds better during transmission or rather has more clarity?
Sure.
Okay, so this is the first microphone. It's the Sennheiser microphone. So testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, copy the Sennheiser. Sounds pretty good.
W2SET, Malco.
And that's okay.
Yaesu MH31 microphone. Just testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, that's the Yaesu. I hear what could be a little bit of resonance in the mic on the bottom half of your voice. It's still pretty intelligible, so it's not a problem.
Okay, I got one more microphone to go. This one I'll actually have to unplug the mic from my system so I can plug in the other Yaesu mic. Hold on just a sec.
Okie dokie.
K-F-5-P-A-X disconnected, W-5-N-G-U repeater disconnected, W-5-N-G-U repeater disconnected, W-5-N-G-U repeater disconnected.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep, you're back up.
This is the third and last microphone. It's the Yaesu MH59 microphone.
Yeah, that has a little bit less bottom on it. So it probably is a little bit more intelligible. All three are good. This one's probably a little more intelligible. And I almost think it has a little bit less distortion. It's hard to tell. It depends on how much, how hard each one is pushing the deviation on the radio. It's easy to get too much.
I'm sorry, would you mind repeating your opinion again? I deviated off of the channel for a moment.
Oh, don't do that. Of the three, this is probably a little bit more intelligible than the other two, although all three are just fine.
Oh, nice. It's also the most comfortable to hold.
Hey, sometimes it works like that. Now, what kind of Sennheiser do you have? Normally, that's a pretty expensive microphone.
So it is actually. It's a dynamic microphone. It's the Sennheiser E838, and I hardwired it to a switch that switches between the microphone that comes with the Yaesu on the PTT or the handheld.
Okay, well, very good. Yeah, you don't see too many Sennheiser Dynamics, but yeah, they're, you know, an excellent company that normally deals more in, you know, broadcast and recording and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I originally used it for recording, and now that I'm just not doing that much recording, I'm thinking that, you know, it would make a good microphone for canceling out any background noise. But because I was running it directly into the unit, I believe the volume was a little bit subpar. So next time I'm just going to run it into a preamp and then run it into the unit.
Yeah, you don't want to run it too hard. You might want to lose a little bit of the bottom end on it, which of course is good for recording, but you know, for communication, you don't need real good low frequency frequency response. You just as soon lose some of that.
My transceiver actually has a DSP that I can use on the microphone transmission. I'm not sure how it affects the transmission, but it does have that option.
Yep, 7000 has a good, you know, you can set your roll-off frequencies on the top and bottom and so on. Yeah, you've got good control over that.
I'm not running the 7000.
Oh, that was the, okay. No, that was the guy out not Arizona, New Mexico, I guess it was.
It's actually kind of interesting. You know, I have the frequency locked on my transceiver. By the way, I'm using the Yaesu FT857, which is the model that's in between the 817 and the 897. I have the frequency locked, and it shows that little key on there, but on the handheld PTT microphone, I'm actually able to change the frequency, so that's kind of strange. I'm going to have to check some settings.
Yeah, there may be another setting to defeat the up-down, whether it's in memories or stepping in frequency. Yeah, that can be pretty annoying if it's not what you want it to do.
Yeah, at the moment I don't have, I believe that the 7000 that you mentioned is an HF transceiver. At the moment I don't have a good setup for HF. I mean, you gotta set up the antenna. It has I guess HF has a lot more consideration needs to be met as far as setting up the antenna with the angles and the length and all that stuff. So I gotta work with that before I start transmitting HF, even though my transceiver is capable of doing that.
Oh yeah, you can work your way up to to whatever. Yeah, and you spend more time and more money, and doesn't have to be real expensive. You can string wire out pretty inexpensively, especially if you've got trees and stuff. So it can work out real nice. You may need to have a tuner, especially if you're using, I'll say simpler antennas, but a tuner will be able to get you a whole lot more flexibility using HF. Yeah, of course the 7000 will do 2 meters 440 and all of HF, so it's amazingly compact, fairly universal radio. So, needless to say, ICOM has done real well with that, NS2K.
Okay, me anything about D-Star or something? I keep hearing all this stuff about D-Star, and I'm confused because other than, you know, government agencies, how many amateurs are actually on a D-Star formatted network?
Some, not very many. There are some machines around, and there are some hams around, but they're having a hard time getting enough penetration to make it really good. It's a good system. It uses frequency bandwidth well and power well, and it's very clean, you know, good sounding audio. But you know, until enough people are using it, then, well, it's more interesting than anything else. Certainly more interesting than useful.
K2FAZ timeout.
W2CH.
Joe here, how are you doing? And that's 2K.
I'm sorry, did you come back to me, W2CH?
W2CH, NS2K.
Yes, NS2K, W2CH. No, the other station, you were doing the mic testing. I was just listening after the net. About D-Star, I do have a rig for about 15, 16 months, the ID-8ADH, and it's true, as you're saying, I'm sorry, I don't remember names, but at the other station, call, it is kind of a chicken and egg thing there. Some people, I know a fellow in Haverstraw, it's a hot spot, Larry W2LGB, gets about 10 mile coverage, and there's another fellow, Dave, N2KTO in Sparta, and there's some repeaters like K2DIG in Manhattan, Weka here in Westchester, by the way, the name is Ray, I'm in White Plains, in Westchester. And Putnam and the Pearl Repeater, Norwalk, the Greater Norwalk Club, W1NLK. But the range is about 15 to 20 miles, I find, mobile or from home. There was another repeater, WG2MSK, in Brooklyn, but I'm not hearing it now. And some in New Jersey I don't reach. Some are VHF, mostly UHF, and the equipment is more expensive. But if you do link up with the gateway, if you sign into that once you join it, then you can do international contacts. I have programming which lets me do the pathways, the paths to gateway connections if I want to. I have spoken a fellow who's on, sometimes from New Zealand, I've spoken with on D-Star. But it is a bit more esoteric than regular FM.
You know, even though that I don't have any D-Star experience with using that system, the opinion that I'm forming so far is it looks like it's a good standard. It's just going to take some time to get it implemented.
Oh, I did want to add, yes, that's the point, too. You know, will it advance? And there's also a competing system coming out with equipment from Yaesu. Now, they have a whole technical brochure, if you look on their website, a PDF. It's about 19 pages. But that's another system. And that's part of the problem, too. And, of course, the thing with... I don't know if Kenwood in Japan makes some equipment, but it's all with ICOM, most of the international part of it. And with the, I think the chip that does the part of the D-Star there is what they control there, as it did originate out of the JARL in Japan. NS2K, and sorry I didn't get you called. What's the other station again there that we were talking? By the way, the name is Ray in White Plains again, W2CH.
Your name is Ray?
This is Ray in White Plains, W2CH.
My name is Mike, and my call sign is KD2, Big White Kangaroo, BWK.
Okay, fine, Mike. Very good. BWK, got that. Okay, back to NF2K.
Oh, that's funny. One of my early calls was BWJ. suffix. Anyway, that's funny. But, yeah, good. You know, you need to, you know, work your way through, get comfortable with what you got, and talk with folks, and you'll see, the directions. There are 1,000 directions you can go, in ham radio. Don't try to do all of them. You'll drive yourself crazy. But, you know, take it easy and enjoy it. One of the things, the codec for D-Star, there is some patent encumberment, and that's part of the reason why other companies have had a hard time coming out with it. So it probably would have taken over much more had there not been, impediments to, implementing it more freely. There are some folks who are reverse engineering it and may come up with something that is compatible, but I don't know that that's all quite real yet.
Yeah, the thing with ham is a lot of people, I mean, even though there is now standard equipment, a lot of people are improvising. So yeah, I really wouldn't follow all of the improvisations. I did see, some YouTube videos of people using LNBA, I think it is, the 8 or 10 gigahertz, or maybe even 15 gigahertz, component that's part of the satellite dish, and they're using it for transmission, but I find it a little cumbersome because, I mean, you really have to aim it directly. Not only that you have to have specialized equipment, but you have to aim it directly at the target to get some contact. But when you do, you make some really crystal clear contacts because of the propagation that is with that particular frequency.
Well, yes, like with the moon bounce, WTCH here, they're very specialized groups like on the Limark TechNet. Dick K2RW has spoken about the microwave gigahertz group. I think W1GHZ, there's a fellow, and others are just a few hundred people that do, say, moon bounce or something, or you can do meteor scatter. And I did satellite in the late 70s with Oscar 7 and 8 with some of the rigs, Mode A, where you did 2 meters and 10 meters. Now, I can hear the satellites. I don't have a setup for it. If I use my FastGate program, I can see when one's coming over. But, yes, there's many things. Well, there are also competitors, as you said about the codec with the limiting, the manufacturer of D-Star. Then there's the Motorola thing called Motor Turbo, which is on some other repeaters too, and the Avco P25, which is the police or public service version more, but there is ham equipment too.
I would personally like to see some companies start, manufacturing equipment as a competitor to the standard companies that have been around, not to pose any threat to the companies or their products, but to kind of start innovating and, stray away from the norm, and try integration of all these different digital modes. And maybe even come up with some.
Well, yes, you do have some competition now from the Chinese equipment as far as the 2 meter, 220, 440 type things, you know, the various HPs and some mobile rigs. There's some other new ones out there I've seen for the various bands. But as far as are other companies around that are not the major ones, well, Pentek's pretty big as a U.S. company. You've got the Flex Radio for software-defined. Back over to you, NS2K and KB2BWK, W2CH.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, unfortunately, there are only a handful of U.S. makers, but I have a Pentek, and I have a Flex, so try to support the U.S. manufacturers. That's probably true. There are three different standards for VHF, UHF, mostly U, that are in more, at least some use in ham radio. Motor, there's a crowd that's using the Motorola standard. There are folks using the ICOM standard, and then there are others. And unfortunately, none of them talk to each other, which is a real problem. But satellite stuff. There are a lot of folks who really enjoy that. Dee, for instance, who is a part of Bera and some others, is very active with AMSAT. But you'll find a lot of folks around, and sometimes you just need to hook up with the right person and you can share the effort and the expense and essentially play together. So have a good time with that. NS2K.
Yeah, I did research Tentec. They do have very, very nice radios. I'm interested in their expensive models, which will take some time to save up for. I guess they specialize in HF more than any other band. And the thing is, their radios look like really high quality. So if I was to go for a strict HF unit, I would definitely go for a Tentec if I had the money laying around for it.
Yep, they make some good quality stuff. It tends to be more popular with CW operators, less with voice and other modes. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong here. But yeah, that's the impression that I get. You'll find, there are lots of folks. I tend to be more ICOM oriented, for instance, for a lot of purposes. I'm kind of used to their user interface and the radio actually works. But other people will swear by Kenwood. Other people will swear by Yaesu, and every one of them you'll find a contingent that would never even consider moving to one of the other makers. It's really kind of funny. It's almost like a religion.
Yeah, W2CH. Yeah, it's true. Some people do. I haven't been much into Kenwood, but mostly Yaesu and ICOM. I've got this A57 Delta here. That's a small HF, VHF, UHF rig. An FTM350 Yaesu for the appers and that, and then some HTs. And also for 220, I've got, the Elinco. There's a few other rigs now out. For like Jetstream and that other Chinese one. I saw at the Hamfest in Orange County. That's fairly inexpensive. Again, as far as the higher frequencies, it's mostly when you get to the gigahertz and that, it's converters like, what's that called? Down East Microwave, Kuhn over in Germany, and some other products out there, as I say, that the American ones with, as you said, Pentax radio and a lot of accessories like MFJ is very big. but accessories, not so much into the big rigs. I guess the Linko, as I said, I have the 220 there, and I've got the ICOM 880H for the D-Star mic.
Honestly, my only disappointment with ham radio is that I'm not finding any HF handhelds. I just looked everywhere, and it's like people are like, you know, is CB radio handheld is as HF as you're going to get?
Let me add, there used to be AEA had a 10 meter. There was a Japanese company, some funny name like Mikutsu or something, that used to have portable low power rigs for some of the HF band, sideband or CW, but they just aren't around now. It's NF2K, W2CH, and the group.
Yeah, the fundamental problem with HF with an HT is the antenna doesn't work if it's not big enough. You know, a good performance antenna is going to be way too big to hook to the top of something you can carry in one hand. 10 meters is, you can sort of fake it. 6 meters, you can sort of make it. But, of course, with 2 meters or 440, the antenna is small enough so that you know, you can easily make a rubber duck or some other you know, small enough antenna that it's not too dangerous. So you know, that's probably the reason why you don't find that. The other thing, of course, is it's harder to make sideband stuff, and of course CW or sideband are most popular on HF. But sideband is hard to do, and good stability, the frequency stability that you really need to do CW well, is a little bit tight. And I suspect the manufacturers just haven't found that there's enough of a market to put out a product of that nature. And that's okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking for it as like a backpacker item, you know. I mean, I like the portability of handhelds. You know, it's you got the microphone and the whole thing, you know, battery all in your hand. The only thing that I would see is that, you know, you'd probably roll out an antenna like a mini dipole made out of maybe FM gauge antennas, and you know, just kind of roll it out, kind of like if you're sitting in Starbucks, roll it out across the window and then just start communicating.
Well, of course, there are some backpack type radios like the 817, which it looks about the size of this rig but is low power, and then ICOM had out that 703, but HT wise, I must say that I was looking up a station on QRZ that I worked in the last WPX contest, and he had a YouTube video of working a low power rig or some HT to a European station who was receiving him. I think it was in Italy. It was in the mountains. And it was an HT, I don't know what brand, but it was HF on 20 meters or something like that, and it had a long whip on it. So maybe there is something out there, maybe somewhere, or just with some older one that was once made. As I said, the DX Handy was a few bands. There was that. Some Japanese company made a couple of them, but as you said, as we were discussing, it's difficult a bit with the antennas on an HT. Of course, you could, you know, add on, somehow plug in the dipole if you're somewhere, or some kind of other antenna than just on the rig itself, NS2K, W2CH in the group.
Yeah, lots of folks will make, you know, the in radio size, you know, the mobile size radios, or a little bit smaller. sound that lend themselves to battery power. Ken, I know Ken Wood, yeah, all three of them make that sort of thing, but or have made all three. But again, you know, you're going to have a... Oh, what was the other one? Oh, the other American company. I can't think of the name. K... Remind me. I don't remember the name of it, these other guys. But they've got a little, very, very miniaturized DSP radio that they've just come out with that's really, really slick. Just can't think of the name right at the moment. And it's okay. Make the K2, K3.
This is KD2, DWK. Yeah, I was just wondering, so if, I mean, CB handhelds are fairly affordable. I was thinking of maybe purchasing one and modifying the output frequency and see if it's functional at the, on the other end of, at the other end of the spectrum.
Well, that's a possibility. They're around 4 watts or so or less. I forget what the CB ones are different. You might be able to. I know somebody had a converted CB rig, as there used to be a lot of modifications for the regular mobile rigs to use for 10 meters, channelized or so. But I just wish I remembered that the handheld one that he was talking on HF. The guy who had it on the ham who was on his QRZ page with his website that had this YouTube was being received, and they worked each other with the HTs between Europe and the U.S., 20 meters or so, but I don't know what brand it was. It seemed pretty recent. And the station you saw the video was an Italian call letter station. But you might, as I said, try something like that with it. You might have to change crystals or a bit the circuitry, the coils or so adjust if you want to try something for 10 meters with the CB since it's so close, NF2KW2CH.
What I was trying to think of was the Elecraft KX3. It's a brand new design, or relatively new design, but designed to be very, very portable. Not so much handheld, but for portable use. Anyway, I'm getting kind of long in the tooth here. It's time for me to get some Z's. So I'm going to have to bail out here pretty quick. NS2K.
I'm just checking out the that Elecraft online.
Yes, they were coming out. I think it was at Dayton that they showed the prototype. I haven't followed it. That very portable, slimmed down version of the K3, KX3, or whatever the model number is, as a full featured portable type rig. I just don't know when you said about the, and I'll say goodnight to NS2K, W2CH, I'll be signing shortly myself, but I want to say that if you took a 10 meter HT, I mean 11 meter CB to 10 meters, are those ones that are on sideband?
I'm not really sure. I've always looked at CB as, you know, something fairly affordable, cheap, at the same time, I guess that gives you, like, more of an opportunity to work with its components because you're not so afraid of losing, you know, a buck or two, on a radio. The handheld that I've seen was the Yaesu VX8R, I think it is, and it's just overpriced in my opinion. I mean, it's a 5-watt handheld that does 50 megahertz at the most, as far as HF, I guess. They're the closest to HF. It's like $500. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you can get like a $40 or a $60 CB radio and mess with it, you'd probably get more desirable results than the $500 handheld with all that digital nonsense.
Okay, I get what... Well, yes, I have those HTs, of course, and as you said, they're $300, $400, $500, and talking about D-Star, their HTs are pretty expensive, again, just like the mobile rigs because of the extra features. But, of course, I mean, I don't remember now much about the CB HT. I know the rigs are still pretty much the same with the 40 channels, some of sideband. As I said, I've seen the 10-meter CB years ago already converted a couple of cycles ago when 10 was good. It was channelized. I used it, and it worked. It was converted. I forgot the brand, but there's certain ones out there that you see. I just haven't kept up with CB. That's why I was wondering if you took a 11-meter CB, HT, are they always just AM still like the regular lower channels are? I know when they do sideband on CB, I remember it's the upper channels like 38, 39, 40. If you listen around through another receiver or so and hear them. But as far as an HT from CB to 10 meters, I don't know if any of those are sideband. At least they used to not be years ago. I don't know today. But as you say, they're pretty inexpensive to work with compared to a ham HT. Of course, you don't have that mode. You wouldn't have sideband. The only one that can receive sideband in the ham bands in VHF, UHF is the Kenwood HT.
It seems like the previous or the old versions of CB radios were not capable of SSB, but I guess now the single sideband so widely used, and you know the capability of just providing you with more channels and longer, you know, distance with SSB. I'm seeing some radios online right now. It says SSB Mobile CB 40 channels Galaxy brand, and it's $135. And it looks like a mobile rig.
Yeah, I've forgotten the names like Galaxy and that. Yes, I haven't, as I said, looked into it. But there are quite a few with the sideband now. That's been for some years with the mobile rigs. As far as doing an HT for CB to ham, I mean, if you go to sideband, I think instead of 4 watts on the AM, it's about 12 watts PEP on sideband from a mobile rig, if I remember the figures. And it is a little more organized where people, even on those frequencies, give numbers and so on. It's not such a free-for-all like when the skip's coming in on AM. But I don't know what's out there in the HTs for size. I remember they used to be pretty big things with long whip antennas years ago, and you put in about 10 D-cells, and you had them, you know, various from one or two channels up to many. But that's what I remember years ago.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Elecraft. It's actually a very, very nice unit. From looking at it, it looks like it's something between a mobile and a handheld radio, and it does 160 to 6 meters, and it supports single sideband CW data, RTTY, PSK, AM, and FM, and it comes with CW paddles, on the unit, and it looks like mostly a dashboard almost. A dashboard connected to a mic, to a CW panel, and an antenna. It's pretty cool.
Yes, yes, I've seen that when they had the video from Dayton when they were previewing it, and I don't know when it hit the market, or I think the price was going to be around, if I remember, around 1,000, but I'm not sure. I think it's 10 watts, but I'm not sure on that, or whatever you saw looking it up, but yes, there's a couple of paddles, and it looks like the head end of a mobile if you took a regular rig and just had it, but the batteries, I guess there's some kind of lithium ion battery that it runs off. It's pretty innovative and seems like a pretty portable unit covering all those frequencies.
Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, it's basically $1,000 just for the transceiver. Doesn't include the microphone, doesn't include the CW paddle. Doesn't really include anything except for the transceiver.
That's what I thought. It was around $1,000 for the basic unit. Does it say what you're looking at, what the power is? Of course, the accessories add up. It's just like when you buy an HT or get filters and other things, although now some of the rigs with DSP and the IF, you don't need to buy the filters anymore, although now the big thing is roofing filters. But as far as accessories, yeah, it looked pretty good. Handheld size, like the front panel, would be taken off a mid-size HF rig. But is it a lithium ion battery with, what, about 10 watts?
KD2ACT disconnected. KD2ACT disconnected. KD2ACT disconnected. KD2ACT disconnected.
Kilo Delta W2CH with KB2BWK.
Kilo Delta 2 Alpha Charlie Tango. Over.
I'm going to say my 73s. It's KB2BWK. That's KB2 Big White Kangaroo.
Okay, fine, Mike. Well, nice talking with you. I'm going to get going, too. Got to get traveling a bit, as a matter of fact, myself tomorrow later in the morning, so it's time to QRT2. Well, nice talking with you. Hope the information was helpful, and good luck with what you're trying to do there. And like I said, this NS2K said a lot of things out there. So 73 is Mike. KD2BWK, W2CH.
Connected. KD2ACT.
Kilo Delta 2, Papo Charlie Tango. Anybody copy? Over. Kilo Delta 2, Papo Charlie Tango.
KD2ACT. Disconnected. Connected. KD2ACT. KD2ACT. Disconnected.
Hey, 2ACN Mobile, looks like repeat. What are you doing up so late? WEB to WPQ.
Rich, I'm just coming home. Is my audio low or normal or what?
I would have to say a little on the low side.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Because I had the radio in the house and it was fine. put it in the car and it isn't. And that's two different radios, the same model. So I don't know. If I talk real close to the mic, it might be better.
Oh yeah, it definitely comes up. But earlier today, while commuting home, you were talking with Dick. I had to crank up the volume to hear you. When Dick came on, he about blew me out of the car.
Now that's a complaint that I've had for some time. And I decided to take the radio out of the car and do something about it. So I did, but there is no deviation or gain control as such. It's all software. And it works in the house. There's only two commands. One makes it louder, and the other makes it lower. It's not proportional. It's just, either high sensitivity or low sensitivity. And right now it's in high sensitivity.
In the house, it works good. In the car, it don't.
Yep, and that has nothing to do with, RF or anything like that.
Sorry, I doubled. You sure you got 13.8 volts at the socket in the car?
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't matter. I tried it running it down as low as 10 volts. It still works the same.
You got your choice. The expensive way or the cheap way? Cheap way, get a different radio. Expensive way, get a different car.
Well, I think I'll just learn to hold stand up closer to the microphone.
Yeah, I noticed the extended microphones, even the one I'm using here on the HT. You got to practically eat the thing to be heard. You can't afford to back off a little bit. And if I take the external mic off and just use the microphone in the HT, it's totally different ballpark. Can't wait.
Well, I was using the same microphone when I was in the house also. Well, actually, I wasn't. I was using the microphone that I have in the car. In the car, and that's a thought. It might be the microphone. I headed that. Thank you.
I like the idea of the microphone that I'm using on the HT, but I can't do anything from the microphone. You know, it's not like the car radio. You can go up or down and change from 2 to 440. There's no options. It's just an external speaker, which is quite loud in comparison to the radio itself. Oh, well, modern technology sometimes is not the best.
Well, I wish they had at least put one more step in there, you know, high, medium, and low, something, because all the control you have, there's nothing on the PC board. I opened the radio up and looked at it. There's nothing on there that's in the way of a trim pot. And I don't know how to do paperwork on it anyway, so I don't know what I'm doing. So I don't know. I'll consider the microphone. I'll take the microphone that's swapped the one from the house and the car. And see if that makes a difference. That is a possibility, and I haven't thought about it.
All right, you do that, and then sometime tomorrow I'll have the radio on. If I hear you, I'll give you an updated report.
Okay. But if I talk into my close talker, that's okay, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So what happens when I'm talking here and I'm backing away from the microphone? Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah, but you've dropped way down.
Yeah, you got to keep these little peanuts real close. I think maybe I'll hook it up to a D104.
Uh-huh. to use those lollipops?
Maybe at home, but definitely not with an HT. they were nice in that day. I mean, it worked for me. Of course, I don't have the best volume of my own voice there. I'm always on the low side. I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, well, CY-04 is a crystal microphone, you know. The loading on the thing by whatever the circuit is or radio is quite significant. And I don't think you want that. I had built a little AGC amplifier and made a Vox circuit with it. And the radio, the D104, I had built the Vox and the AGC rather in the bass. And it was nice because I could get plenty of volume out of it in the AM now. Anywhere in the basement, I could just wander around and talk. And the Vox would be tripped by voice too. It worked very well. I did that a lot. I used to be a bunch of us that met on 21310, and I was usually working at the bench on something, so I could listen and talk and still continue my work. Nice, but we had a bunch of people. I think you know a lot of them anyway. Remember National?
How come I'm hearing a lot of snap, crackle, and pop? Is that just something getting into the repeater, or is it my computer monitor projecting noise over here?
Well, I'm not running very high power. You see what I'm doing, I'll change it.
Yeah, I noticed when I work simplex on 2 meters, I have to turn my monitor off. Because, man.
Hi, this is the 30 watts now.
Monitor. It's one of those Acers.
I'm sorry, I doubled on you for a little bit. This is 30 watts now.
It appeared to be better. I said when I work simplex with the HT sitting over here. The noise I pick up from my monitor. I have to shut the monitor off.
Well, I don't want to do it while I'm driving because I can't both hands, both things. So I'm pulling into my garage at the moment. So thank you for keeping me company. Nice seeing you today. I'll leave it at high power. Maybe it'll make a difference. WB2 WPQ. Good night, Rich. K2ETN.
It definitely was a fantastic luncheon. 73, WEB to WPQ.
Kilo Delta 2 Apple Charlie Tango. Over.
KC2 IHI listening. KC2 IHI listening. KC2 IHI listening. Thank you.
W2FDB, mobile listening. W2FDB, mobile listening.
W2FDB, W2BIT, good morning, Frank.
Good morning, W2BIT. How are we on this no traffic Friday?
I'll let you know, I just pulled out of the house. running a little behind, but other than that, I'm fine. It's a traffic light where you are, huh?
We got to that point where I wanted to just make sure that, yes, today is Friday.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. Good. I guess a bunch of people took off for Good Friday. Yay!
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah, no, it's, there's a, I don't know if it was a new guy at the gym this morning, but one of the workers that was there, I don't know if he was the reason for it, but for some reason it got so freaking hot in the gym today. It was, sometimes, I don't mind warm, you're there to work out and, sweat a little bit, but it got to the point where you just couldn't get away from it. It was like, oh, but other than that, it's okay. Yeah, it's, pretty nice so far. I'm just coming up on 287 this morning, so nice smooth sailing. Get to the office a little early, sit down, relax for about 5 minutes, and we'll see what the day brings. But yeah, so hopefully you'll see the same light traffic that I do.
W2FDB, W2BIT. So far, so good. Already on 287. Seems to be moving well. Where am I? Past Skyline. Although technically, I think I'm still in Oakland, just because of the way the border line cuts. So, seems to be moving well. So, yeah, I guess a bunch of people took off today. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking a day off today to go in and check out the car show, but I have too much to do. What can you do? So, yeah, just getting on to 287. Actually, I'm on the ramp right now, so we'll see what happens. Forgot a jacket this morning, but I think it's supposed to be in the 60s today, so it shouldn't be that bad. But, yeah, I don't know if I kept meaning to turn on, I had the scanner on last night for a few hours trying to hear a guy in my club. I
had an old PC and gave it to him.